Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for listening. Good show this week. We've got our regular Andrew Marchand from the New York Post to talk about all of the big sports media news going on lately. Obviously, you have the Maria Taylor, Rachel Nichols situation, Stephen A. Smith with the Shohei Ohtani comments, NFL Sunday Ticket, Apple TV. So we cover it all with Andrew Marchand of the New York Post. And then following that, we have our weekly Train of Thought segment with my buddy Sal Licata, where we talk about some baseball things and get into this story about the office wanting James Gandolfini to replace Steve Carell when he left, which is a phenomenal story. So me and Sal get into that a lot. If you like the Train of Thought segment, if you hear it, if you've been listening to it, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter. Would love some feedback on what you want to hear in the segment. If you have any questions, you want me to do any type of mailbag, anything you guys want in that segment, I can do. So hit me up on Twitter and let me know. Before we get to this week's show, let me just tell you, if you missed any recent episodes, you can dip into the SI Media Podcast archives. Last week was a really good show with Sean McDonough. He was so honest about so many topics. A lot of people liked it. Got a good feedback on that one. So make sure you check that out if you missed it last week. 2 weeks ago, Chris Long, who former NFL Super Bowl champion, who hosts a great podcast, he was on and he was tremendous. Jim Ross and John Oran 3 weeks ago. So check all those out if you missed them. And if you can rate and review, that helps a lot as well. And obviously, please subscribe to the SI Media Podcast. All right. Andrew Marchand from the New York Post and then Train of Thoughts on this episode. Here we go with Andrew. All right. Joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular. I mean, if I'm not having him on this week, when am I having him on? Breaking stories left and right. Sports media going haywire, especially at ESPN. And he is New York Post sports media columnist, Andrew Marchand. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Jimmy? Thanks for having me.
You're busy. I know that.
I am. Like I told you before, things are going on. I might have to like duck out for a second if something comes up. I got my phone here, but I'm gonna concentrate. I appreciate you having me on, and let's talk to this.
There's a lot to dive into. I'll start with something easy and simple. I know you can answer it. Very basic question. Who gave you the information on Maria Taylor's salary? Who told you she wanted? Who told you she wanted Stephen A. Smith money? Who gave you that quote?
I had a lot of sources on that. So yeah. I know there's a lot of some people out there who on their podcasts and stuff, they claim they know who tells me stuff. As I tell other people, 90% of the time, people are wrong. And obviously I'm not going to get into fully and
I thought you would tell me.
Can't really even answer the question. Yeah. It was a good question. Very good, strong attempt, very direct question. I'm not going to get into who I talked to, but I will say like, there is a lot of people who just say things as if they're fact and they're completely wrong. Of course, I can't get fully into it, so it's kind of like usually I just don't address it at all that you ask. So
I will ask you a legitimate question that I don't know if you want to answer, but I will ask this question because I do think it's a good question that isn't, you know, when the story So you break the story that Maria Taylor is having contract negotiations with ESPN. They offered her $5 million. She turned it down. Then they're offering $2 or $3 million because of the pandemic. They're cutting back, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And then a week later, the Times breaks the Rachel Nichols story. Do you think that story comes out, if not for your report, a week earlier?
Yeah, I think so. From what I've heard, I think that story was before it was already being worked on. Again, I don't know that for certain. I haven't called Kevin Draper from the Times or really looked into that fully, but that's what I've heard. So you know, one had nothing to do with the other. I know it could look like that they were, you know, sequential and that's not how it works. But
that's interesting.
Again, I can't get fully into it, but I think the Times story was happening. I mean, look, I knew about the Maria Taylor stuff. It's been going on. I have a list of stories. I send to my editor every Monday. It's been on there for a while. The timing of it for me was coincidental. Again, despite what people might say who have no facts, it was coincidental in that, you know, in that, well, it's not coincidental. The fact is her contract was up in 3 weeks. That's why I wrote about it.
So then that should, I'm trying to think of the phrasing here. I mean, what you're saying then to me, it's sort of a, if you want to look at it this way, which is a dumb way to look at it, but that would be like sort of a check or a plus in the Maria Taylor column of all of this insanity, because the cynics and the conspiracy theorists thought that New York Times story came out solely because your story came out. I mean, the jump is, okay, someone in the ESPN world probably leaked her salary demands to you, so then her team leaks the Rachel Nichols story to the Times. I mean, that's how a lot of people perceive all of this to have gone down. Which doesn't, yeah, you know, it, yeah, no so one looks great in it, but that's what, you know.
Yeah, I don't, like, I try, like, on your podcast to kind of stick to what I've written, because that's the stuff that I vet fully. I think you're getting at something that within the business, and like, I don't want to tease people who don't know, but, like, look, the timing of the Times story 3 weeks before her contract that made her look very good and ESPN look very bad. Was interesting in terms of that timing of a year old. She's the offended party, so she has a right to be upset, but it was a year old and it did come out 3 weeks prior to her contract being up, with negotiations apparently not going the way exactly she wanted them to go. You know, some people, Bobby V taught me a long time ago not to believe in coincidences when I covered the Mets. You know, I'll let people draw their own conclusions there. You know, I don't know 100% how that story came together. It was a very pro Maria Taylor, anti-Rachel Nichols story, and Rachel put herself in that position. There is something to be said for being taped potentially illegally and talking in a private conversation, and the degree of her, how offensive her statements. Obviously, people are going to have different takes on it. They were insensitive, but there's going to be people, you know, on the spectrum who look at it differently. But they were insensitive. They were private. So, and that's also when you look at the punishment that ESPN could dole out. That was also a factor that is something that I think was somewhat overlooked in some ways by, you know, how people presented it, because even though I do think ESPN's management did a poor job of handling it, like, I think you have to, as Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, said, you have to get the two of them in a room and hash it out. In terms of punishment, when someone's taped, again, potentially illegally, you have to be careful. There's lawsuits and things that can happen if you don't act in a proper way. The biggest issue to me, though, is you have a wound, and you have to address it. You can't just let it get more infected until it becomes, you know, it ends up in the public sphere, and it's now terrible for, you know, most everyone involved.
So do you know, was the, when this all happened last year, was the ESPN strategy, we hope this never gets out?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to, I don't know if that was the exact.
Because they never dealt with it. They never dealt with it last year. So that's why I'm asking that question.
Well, look, again, like I said, management, the people who run the NBA, really need, and Jamie Vitaro is the president or chairman, he's ultimately responsible. to me, again, I'm not managing anything. You have to handle things directly. That's how you handle it. And so I do think they sort of wanted to, you know, hope they never saw the, you know, light. And if the time's in, write the story, maybe it doesn't. And, you know, it's hard. Again, the story was fine. I think it's a tough thing to write about a private conversation. Again, not like if it's like a U.S. senator or like someone running for president, then, you know, I think maybe we have different rules. It's a sportscaster who was taped illegally. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong to publish it. I think it's fair to publish it. I just think it's a little bit of a fine line of where you go with that. Like, again, not saying they shouldn't have. I just think it's a fine line because it was taped illegally. And like, again, I don't want to, like, the thing is, when you get into these subjects, if you say anything like it wasn't the worst thing you've ever heard, then somehow you're like supporting what, you know, like you're not right. Like giving it the full, like, so I'm saying it's wrong.
Right. Because, because she also didn't personally question Maria Taylor's abilities or talent. I mean, she specifically said she thinks Maria Taylor is great.
People made that leap. Yeah.
She said Maria Taylor is great. I'm not downplaying what Rachel Nichols said as the whole result of the tape. But I think obviously, I don't think she'd be at ESPN right now on July 15th if she had personally said things specifically about Maria Taylor's talent and performance.
But, yeah, I feel like, look, this is social media. A lot of leaps were made in terms of Rachel Nichols. And I think Rachel, behind the scenes, doesn't have as many friends as she would need at this point. You know, she has some friends in high places. Adam Silver is very supportive. I think Bob Iger, who's not running Disney very fully, is very supportive of Rachel Nichols. I don't know how Bob Chapek, who now runs it, you know, he feels, but so she has people in high places, and she's made a successful show, you know, The Jump. You know, it depends. Not necessarily my thing, but it's like people, it's done well. It's part of the NBA. But where should the punishment be?
Right. And that's tough. It's very tough.
It's a tough, tricky situation.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote this, but I just think ESPN looks so weak. I don't even know if weak's the right word. That's not the right word. I think they look confused and they don't know what they're doing when they let Rachel Nichols work the finals last year when they knew about the tape, but then they pull it this year because she got punished because the tape became public, not because she said what she said. And that, to me, is a little bit of, you know, bullshit.
Look, these are big corporations. They're owned by Disney. It's a lot of lawyers involved. But to me, you just do the right thing. In every situation, you just do the right thing. So the right thing initially, again, going off, forgetting the fact that someone took this tape and decided to, you know, disseminate it. You know, I don't know that the Times article presented that person as if they did something great.
Yeah, which I
and I can see it. Yeah, no. I could see maybe, but like I don't know, the private conversation that you're taping. I mean, the other day Marv Albert butt dialed me. Should I hang up or should I listen to Marv's conversation? You know, I hung up.
Well, you have to listen. I mean, you're a human being.
I did not listen.
I'm not a good person. I'd listen. I wouldn't report it. You know, I would not report it.
You're the second person. If we were at a Levitard show, we'd say we put up a poll. You're the second person that that said that you would listen. You do not listen.
Even oh, absolutely you do. Man,
you would every listen word. To Marv.
Every word. And I would take notes.
Nope. And he texted me after you like this.
Not just Marv, anybody. If it was anybody, I'm listening.
My parents don't hang up. Like, I always listen to them. Like,
well, that's going to be boring. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's funny. Just hear what you say about it.
I just want to be very clear that Rachel Nichols did not get pulled from the 2021 NBA Finals because of that tape. She got pulled because that tape became public. That's what the story is.
Yes. And the backlash.
All right.
And
so now let's bring it current and to now. So we're taping this Thursday morning, 10:45 a.m. I usually tape earlier in the week, had some issues. Andrew, nice enough to be flexible. So we're doing this Thursday morning. And the latest is that it looks like Maria Taylor is going to jump to NBC. Now, a couple of things. Let's go on the hypothetical that that happens. Is this happening? Now, listen, there's one thing I've learned over the years about this business, and I'm sure you, every single thing is about money. Everything. Could this be a case, though, where it's she just can't be, doesn't want to be at ESPN anymore, or is it because of the money?
Yeah, or I both? Mean, look, I don't know. At this point, when we're talking, I don't know the exact money. I've heard some things where it may not be as much as ESPN's offering. Of course, ESPN's offer went down from what it was previously. So regardless of how much money it is, people tend to not really like that when you make, you know, when you have one offer and then it's lower, that's usually viewed as insulting. And then, you know, the everything else that's gone on. So I don't NBC traditionally does not pay as much as the $3 million just for them. Now, I did lay out in the article, it's pretty easy to see the path where Maria Taylor also ends up on Amazon's Thursday Night Football, which they're going to go after Al Michaels and Peyton Manning to start with. And, you know, Al is already with NBC. Fred Gaudelli is expected to be the head guy who's the producer for Sunday Night Football. And he'll also produce Amazon's Thursday Night as well, starting in 22-23. You could see how Maria could be the sideline person. Look, she's very talented. I mean, you watch her on air. At 34, she is a great traffic cop and really good. Now, those skills aren't as valuable as they once were in a digital age. It's much better to be like a Pat McAfee type nowadays, but she's really good.
And also no very and very versatile. She does many sports.
Versatile, which is, exactly. Yeah. She's just very talented on air.
Yeah.
So you could see where she could do the... You know, Tirico is expected to replace Al, not this year, but after the Super Bowl NBC has. The following year, Tirico becomes number one. Then they have a role Sunday Night Football, which she'll be able to potentially work with Drew Brees, who she blasted after his national anthem comments, you know, last year, which is interesting. And so you can see how it all kind of can fit into a plan. And then I've written it, you know, I think she has had designs on doing, you know, mornings like, you know, like Robin Roberts. And so can NBC put a little, Today Show stuff in there? Maybe. And I mean, and then you could see where, okay, that makes some sense. The thing is about ESPN and look, I don't know internally exactly how she's been treated and one-on-one, personnel, but it seems to me she's been treated pretty well by ESPN. She was at SEC Network. She's at 27. She's been there 7 years. Her salary went from whatever starting salary was, which, you know, was in the hundreds of, you know, probably not that much starting at SEC Network as an unknown person, to making $1 million, and has been promoted to basically every job, top job that ESPN has had open that falls under her, what she does, from national championship sideline reporter, college football game day, NCAA women's host, and then the NBA finals. So it's, again, internally what her interactions are with people, that's something I can't say if there has been bad experience, but in terms of promotion, financially, it seems to me ESPN's treated her very well.
Last question on this. So what makes this, again, as I said before, this whole story is just insane from start to finish with, so I said this last week as well, so many layers. There are so many layers to this. And then the other layer in this, is that Maria Taylor's contract. Now, again, it looked like the Suns were going to sweep. Everyone expected a quick NBA Finals. Now we got 2-2. So there's a chance this goes 6 or 7 games. Maria Taylor's contract expires before Game 6, Game 7. I know you reported they could do a deal where she makes her deal with NBC and then she still does those last two games. If she didn't, is there even a 1% chance they'd have Rachel Nichols do those last two games?
No. You not, have a better Jimmy Trainor here with Jalen Rose, Jay Williams, and Woj.
See, if I'm ESPN, I put Rachel Nichols right there, Game 6. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, that's why you're not running ESPN. There's zero chance. No offense to Rachel Nichols.
Hey, don't make fun of me for not running ESPN. They got trouble every single day over there. So
that's true. Trainor, you running it would be interesting. Yeah. Yes, it will not be Rachel Nichols.
All right. All right, I have nothing left to say about this. Do you have anything to put a bow on it? Because then we can move on to the next topic.
No, I mean, look, I said Maria Taylor, super talented. It's interesting. I mean, the one thing I would say is that, like, the pregame show for the NBA Finals, like, all the hubbub about it, like, I don't
nobody
know
watches it. Nobody cares.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's what's kind of interesting about the whole thing. I feel like the drama off of it has become more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like at 8:30 people are like, I got to watch NBA countdown before the finals.
Like,
again, she's very talented. I just don't know if that show doesn't resonate, which makes it the whole thing kind of interesting. And the other thing is the backdrop to all this also at ESPN is that they're cutting everyone's salary.
Right.
And they're offering Maria Taylor salary from $1 million to $3 million when they're like Ariel Helwani, who, you know, is a top MMA reporter. And you would think, you know, there's the Dana White thing with, you know, it's a little, that's a complicated issue too. But like they offered him a 5% pay cut.
Right. But if they offered her, I understand they offered her $5 million before or in the middle of the pandemic or before they started, you know, letting everyone go. But I'm sorry. If I'm her, I'd be pissed too if they offered me five and then came back with three.
It was an average of five. It went to five the last year.
Right,
like
right.
4-year deal. Last year, she'd be like 38. She'd be making five.
Yeah. No. I think she has every right to be pissed about that. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, what you said is obviously, I mean, they are cutting left and right. You know, I mean, you just have to open your eyes to see it. I mean, they've let go of a lot.
So
you know,
exactly. And let me say, the other thing is, if they pay her three, if she stays and they pay her $3 million, they're not, Disney's like, you know, they're in ESPN's pocketbook. It's not like that $3 million. It's like that $3 million and do whatever you want with everyone else. Everyone else is taking, they're taking 10,000 from this person, 15 from that person,
right?
300,000 from that. They're not, they'd have to make up that money. So she leaves, in theory, that might alleviate other people, like make a little more. And they'll probably do the same thing and just keep cutting. But in theory, they do. And that hurts morale, though, when you're offering one person a raise three times what they're making, especially with the numbers, and others are having to take pay cuts left and right.
So let me ask you this, though. Next season, the 2022 NBA Finals, is there a chance Rachel Nichols would host those? I mean, that was her job. I mean, she got, her and Maria Taylor were supposed to split that gig, or do you think she's done with that job completely?
Well, people do come back. We're always like, nobody can come back. I mean, like...
No, she'll come back. She'll come back.
She'll come back. I mean, look, she has... But in these cases, like, I think... and I'm not comparing it to, but like, you need powerful people in your your court. Like Marv came back, he had a number of people, but David Stern had his back when he had his legal issues and pleaded guilty.
And I don't want to interrupt you, but Marv also, when he came back, started locally doing the MSG in New York. Yes. You know,
So they had like all planned to get Marv back, and he's Marv. He's the greatest ever. So you can come back. I mean, you know, the difference was like kind of, the internet was there, but it's pre-internet. So it's a little bit different than it is now. I think what Adam Silver said to me, like the same thing with like Stephen A, which maybe you're going to get to. It's like, I think if people's intent, and so in Rachel's case, she didn't know she was being taped and she said something insensitive and wrong. But again, there's degrees of insensitive and wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
She apologized. Stephen A apologized, and I don't think Stephen A's intent was bad. His words were bad, and he was ignorant, but his intent wasn't bad. And so when someone apologizes after, even if it took him a couple of times, I still think we should accept people's apologies. That's me. Wrong, you know.
All right, so Stephen A was the next topic, but let me ask you this before we get to Stephen A, since you said it, and I don't want to forget to follow up on it. I know you're going to give me like a wishy-washy. I don't know. We'll see. Give me an answer. Is Peyton Manning actually going to call Thursday Night Football for Amazon? What do you think is going to happen? Because that would be, I mean, ESPN has tried to get him, obviously, for 4 or 5 years. And now you're going to tell me he's going to do Thursday Night Football on Amazon. You think that's going to happen? Well, you think there's a good, I'm being facetious, obviously. I know you can't say yes or no. You think there's a good chance? You think there's a good chance?
I would say, if you ask me my gut, I would go with history is no. People have offered him a lot of money before. Amazon could offer him, you know, they have the biggest market cap of anybody anywhere, I think. And so, or at least one of them. And so they could offer him so much money that potentially could work with a legend in Al Michaels. You know, that might be to do 16 weeks. The thing about Peyton Manning, and I respect him for this greatly, is I don't think he will just do it. First of all, he doesn't need necessarily the money, but people always like more money when it's easy money. But like, I think he would be all in. Right. Like, I don't think he's just like that. I mean, we know that from his NFL, but just when you talk to people who work with him, I did a big story about, you know, what he's trying to do with his company and the things he does with NFL films with Peyton's Places. That's on ESPN Plus. He's an all in guy. So like, he's just not, I don't believe he'll do it. But I think if you had Goodelli, you have Peyton Manning, you know, the Amazon games aren't as great, but like, I think that's a little appealing.
I specifically asked you not to give me a wishy-washy answer, and then you gave me a wishy-washy
answer.
That wasn't
wishy-washy at all. That was
you said he's not going to do it, but he likes Fred Godelli. He wants more money. He likes Al. So is he, I mean, is he doing it or is he not doing it? God damn it. Give me an answer.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're a hot taker. I'm just the guy who reports.
I predict that he does it.
He does it.
I think he will for this reason. I'll give you the reasons why I think. I think what you said is about where I think working with Al, I think is a huge factor.
Yep.
I was told he didn't want to do ESPN all those years because he didn't want to call games with involving Peyton and Tom Brady. I mean, Eli and Tom Brady. Now, Brady's still around, so maybe that's a factor, but I think enough time has passed that he's been out of the league where he'll do it. And here's why I think he's going to do it. I think the low-key appeal of Amazon compared to ESPN will help in this. Like, if he's on ESPN, ESPN's going to, you know, it's going to, like what they do at A-Rod with Sunday Night Baseball. It's going to be the Peyton Manning show. Then he's got to go on all their dopey daytime shows and all that stuff. Like, with Amazon, he could fly in, do 3 hours with Al. It's not going to be as viewed as Monday Night Football because it's on Amazon. And he'll get out of there, and it's an easy gig.
Schedule-wise, too, you know, he has young kids. They're starting to play sports and stuff like that. So, you know, these guys, I think they want their weekend so they can see their kids' activities and et cetera, you know, whatever they do. And so this one, you kind of, Thursday Night Football, you kind of come in on Wednesday. It's a short week for the team. So you kind of come in Wednesday, and you can leave Thursday, you know, he'll fly private. You can leave Thursday. It really, again, I said, you know, we say this every time. Like, if he doesn't do it this time, he'll never do it. And then something else comes up. And here's the thing about him. Look, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning. Everyone will say Tom Brady now. Yeah, he's arguably the best quarterback ever. And he, but he doesn't have to do it. So it's like, it's one of those things. It's, you know, it's not. His dad did it. You know, dad did
here's,
it.
Now, listen, I'm not, the Peyton thing is whatever. I'm not all wrapped up. I'm more fascinated by the Al part of this. Would Al do Sunday night and Thursday, or would they give Sunday night to Tirico and Al would do Thursday?
Well, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know if Al just wants to give up Sunday night. So maybe in my mind, I think he'll try to maybe get some Sunday night, but Tirico's been waiting in the wings. He's, you know, he's the next generation for, you know, he's not the youngest guy. I mean, he's in his 50s, I think, probably. But he's their next generation. He's hosting the Olympics. He's their guy. So, I mean, it's his. I can't imagine Mike Tirico is not the main play-by-player for Sunday Night Football, unless something unforeseen happens. You know,
it's starting when? In 2023?
2022. NBC has the Super Bowl. You know, it's a perfect. Right. Again, I'm not. Al should do what he wants to do. I'm not in like Willie Mays plays with the. You know, not right. Al's still good, but like Al should do what he wants to do. I'm not into this legacy, the perfect story. I think that's BS. But it is the perfect story. If he were to do the Super Bowl in his hometown of LA, it's a great thing. But he still wants to do it. And you look at his schedule. I mean, he works 4.5 months a year, so he's retired the other, you know, almost 8 months. So it's like, why not keep doing it? So I don't think he. I would think he'll do it, but I don't know if he definitely, that's not exactly what he wants to do. I mean, he's Al Michaels. He kind of wants to do it on his terms.
Right.
And he's had one of the great careers. I mean, you could argue maybe the greatest career of any play-by-play person. When you think of what the moments that he's called and what he's done and the longevity, especially in the NFL. You know, but, so he's not really an Amazon guy. You know, that platform is not really where you see Al Michaels ending, but I think it's that very well is where it could happen.
I also think the schedule is going to be important too. I mean, if Amazon gets they made the schedule better for Thursday nights when Fox had it. I don't know now what they're going to do. You know, they're trying to make, they made better schedules for ESPN this year. So I wonder how that's the schedule factors into it.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
All right, so Stephen A, you know, listen, I feel like the story is what it is. He said something stupid, you know, a couple of apology attempts, finally got it right. There's nothing really to analyze, I think, in terms of that. What I wrote, and I truly believe, is, you know, First Take and ESPN got off scot-free here. And to me, they're just as much to blame, because that was a planned segment. He didn't say that off the top of his head. Those comments were not a shock to the staff. They teased it. They chironed it. They promoted it. Everyone knew he was going to say
what, exactly. He was going to say that.
I do. I don't know in the specific words, but I think he was going to say. Listen, if the topic of the segment is should Shohei Ohtani be the face of baseball? You know, one person's taking one side and one taking the other. What possibly could be the reasons for the answer to be no?
But the thing is, the problem with what he, first off, two things. Number one, let me say, Stephen A is the face of ESPN now. He spread too thin, and this happens like every couple of years where he says something that's just like terrible, because when you're doing the NBA finals, you're doing UFC, then you're, you know, jetting in to do First Take, and he's doing two shows. I mean, like, what I respect about Stephen A is he works hard. He's not like stealing anybody's money. He is working his ass off. Right. And so I respect that. But in that same light, the ESPN does this basically with most of the people that they like. They spread them too thin. And it's not only what he said, but the way he said it. And, you know, I'm going to paraphrase. I don't remember the exact words, but it was something to the effect of, we can't understand what the hell he's saying. Very aggressive way to say, like, how the hell does he not speak English and just not understanding, like, you know, I've covered baseball, like what these guys do who come from overseas, and it's go. I just would love, like, I always used to say this about Armando Benitez, who was the Mets closer back in the early 2000s, and, you know, spoke a little English from the Dominican, and you go to another country, go play a game, mess up, and they're talking about you on every talk show and saying you're basically a jerk. The back page of the paper are saying you're a jerk, and you don't know go do that. You try it, okay? Right. And see if that's not difficult. And I think that insensitivity that Stephen A had there, and the way he said it, in part because he spread too thin and he's always kind of doing the character, that was what was really wrong with it. And then he tried to double down on it and tried to explain himself, which, you know, is not like, there's that one problem we have, and I think this is social media, is like, you can't, like, nobody's allowed to explain themselves. Like, they're coming after him, and maybe rightfully so. Like, I'm not saying I think his comments were bad and ignorant, you know, but again, was the intent that, like, was his intention ignorant, but was his intent to hurt? Was it his intent to be, anti-Asian? You know, I don't think so. He just said it the wrong. He said something that was wrong, and he just didn't understand it. He didn't know what he didn't know.
But also, but that segment was designed to cause a stir, because it's a stupid, dumb topic. If the premise of the segment is, okay, so
What did the comment say?
Is it good that Shohei Ohtani is the face of baseball? Or should he be the face of baseball? Now, first of all, let's just start with this. Now, maybe this is the New Yorker in me, even though I'm a Yankee fan. You can make, to me, there's two players in baseball. Well, there's three players in baseball right now who I think should be the face or the most popular or the people you go to watch, no matter what they're doing. Jacob DeGrom, Fernando Tatis, and Ohtani. Okay, those are really the three guys right now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
DeGrom doesn't want that job. He doesn't have the personality for it, but there's nobody better to watch when he's on the mat than Jacob DeGrom.
Yep, he's awesome.
So take that out of it. You're questioning whether this guy who's doing something we've never seen before with the hitting and the pitching should be the face of baseball. The guy's hitting home runs every night. This segment is so dumb. On top of which, the guy who is the best player in baseball or has been for the last 10 years is on his team, and nobody in the country cares about the guy. That's the problem for Ohtani, not the language barrier. So the whole segment is designed to be a shit show. Now, put that aside. Now this, to me, becomes a story like Rachel Nichols, Maria Taylor. I'm fascinated by the ESPN part of it. I don't believe Stephen A. should have been fired. I don't believe in firing people for a mistake. I mean, I think if there's a list of mistakes, yes. I'm not into just you fire. I'm not into that. I will say this. If probably 90% of people at ESPN who are on the Air Talent made that comment, they'd be fired.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd be fired. I mean, I'm trying to think of examples. Well, where people suspension. Something on the air. Maybe. Paul Pierce, yes, off the air stuff. Here, yes. I know. I mean, look, you're going to have different rules. Stephen A is making $12 million a year because they're the most valuable person there. So they're not going to just like get rid of Stephen A.
But he didn't even, they took Rachel Nichols off the jump for a day. They didn't take Stephen A off the air for a day.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, ESPN doesn't look at, they didn't look at that as discipline. I'm just telling you how they looked at, they portrayed it to me. That it was more of like this, everything was going on. It was too much.
Well, Stephen A made those comments about Ohtani and then made the comment about the Nigerian baseball team. So that's not a lot going on. That's a typical episode.
Here's the thing. And I definitely don't want to get into politics, but when some people just say things out loud instead of like behind the scenes, like, so again, forgetting what they said, Rachel Nichols was taped potentially illegally.
Right.
And then you're right. They waited a year, whatever. Like, they did a poor job with that. Then Stephen A. saying this thing on the air. I mean, Jalen Rose, you know, said about Kevin Love that I think he said,
"Token white guy."
Yeah, token white guy. So I mean, that's on the air. So like, you start drawing the like. So I guess they didn't do anything. Jalen Rose didn't get punished at all either.
Right.
I'm not saying he shouldn't have. So the point being is that. So I understand. You say that they should have, in a perfect world.
I don't believe. Here's what I'm saying. I just want to point out, because I think people sometimes forget this, and you said it. Stephen A. has different rules than other people at ESPN.
Yep.
ESPN and other companies try to act like, no, everyone has the same rules. No, they don't. Everyone has different rules. Just be aware 100%. Of that.
They have different rules. Right. But he's too. But like. Again, it's more of like, to me, how he said it.
I mean,
and the intent. Yeah. I think I just feel like we've lost the, like, what was the intent? And like, we're always like, I feel again that you can't go by social media.
Context.
There's a lot of bad actors on there.
No, but like, context in it,
you know,
is important.
The context of like, even like if you go deeper, and again, everyone's going to come from their own perspective. So
absolutely.
Everyone has to listen to each other so you understand other people's perspective. And I try to talk to as many people as possible for every column and, you know, to understand like, what am I not understanding? Like, what don't I get about this situation? And I guess, is the intent wasn't, I don't think Stephen A's intent was to hurt. He spoke ignorantly.
Right. My takeaway from both of these incidents is, now see, I don't know the man. I've never met him. I've never spoke to him. It's not what I do. It's really what you do. You get into that stuff. I don't. I have my opinion of Jimmy Pitaro now is just like, does the guy know what he's doing at all? Like, this is a man who flew on an airplane to have a conversation with Dan Le Batard to scold him because Dan Le Batard said, you know, he was offended by Donald Trump at a rally saying people should go back to where they came from. But then Stephen A does two things on one show that get everyone outraged. And it's like, oh, no big deal. We'll just move on. Life is good.
Yeah, well, two things. Let me just...
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if he went to scold, like when you go back to the Le Batard situation.
Have a conversation.
Well, the thing was,
to say stick to sports.
Le Batard said in that, which I think, again, this is one of those where there's a bigger issue, and then there's the issue that we're talking about at a media company. He said that, like, ESPN was cowardly, I think was the word,
right,
something that in that regard. And look, I don't know many companies that are like, yeah, that's cool. Like, go say Sports Illustrated cowardly.
Right, but what Stephen A. said was cool then on both fronts, because he didn't get any, there was nothing. There was no ESPN blowback at all.
I use Stephen A. more than Dan Le Batard.
Well, that's right.
At that point. And so, and whatever, we can get into like the Le Batard, like, you know, if he should be talking about politics or if it's a sports show, that's a whole different equation. Dan Le Batard's at a much better place probably for him and for ESPN. I wrote this like when it happened, it just seems like that's not a good marriage. He wants to, you know, shoot at the machine. When you're inside the machine, eventually you can shoot for a while. It's just not going to work. Eventually people are going to be like, wait, what? Why are we doing this?
But the ultimate point is Pitaro seems all over the map on these things. That's what my takeaway is. I could be wrong, but that's...
ESPN, going back to Skipper, Pitaro, this is not... They've had one problem after another. Now they're busy making deal after deal, which is what they really care about with the NFL and Wimbledon and soccer and et cetera, et cetera. And that's
ESPN
what really...
Plus, yeah.
ESPN Plus, yeah. So that's what really what they're focused on. But in terms of like... And I've written about this, since I wrote about this with Hawani, is like, what are they as like a content company? Are they a place like when we were younger, that's where you wanted to get to ESPN. That was like the place. That was the highest place. You know, it once was at SI and then it moved into ESPN and they've been there for a long time. Now, I don't know if that's the place you want to do content. Do you want to call? Yeah, they have great games to call. But if you're a content person, you're very limited at ESPN because you can only say so much as a Disney company. And everything you do say is just like magnified to the 10th degree. Charles Barkley says a million things on, you know, a network that's not as large as ESPN, but Turner's a huge network with a lot of sports properties. And Barkley can say basically, you know, almost whatever he wants.
Right.
And I love Barkley and there's no ramification.
Right. I'm going to ask you the single most important question of this podcast right now.
Okay. All right.
You are the top sports media reporter in this country. You've worked at ESPN. You deal with ESPN. So you're the perfect person to ask. I've been in talks for like 3 or 4 weeks with ESPN PR. And Stephen A. was supposed to come on this podcast after the NBA Finals. I shouldn't say supposed to, but what it looked like he was going to come on after the NBA Finals. Will Stephen A. still come on? Yes, I media podcast. In the next couple of weeks.
I think he will. I say he will, but...
Okay, that's good. That makes me feel good. Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, I can't say for certain, but I would say he will. I mean, he's on the air every 5 seconds.
Right.
So coming on with Jimmy Train, I know you're
child's
the
play.
Howard Stern. Well, I mean, you know, you'll quiz him, but you usually give a nice open forum. You're a little
All right, this isn't about me, even though that question was about me.
You're a little Ahmad Rashad-ish when it comes to this.
Yes, absolutely. you're my Jordan, I guess.
I don't know about that. But I would say, Stephen A., like the one thing, he takes a lot of pride on it, and we're all just like talking, and I'm writing about this BS, and people are talking, but he does take a lot of pride in being like, I'll be there, you know, doesn't duck anything. So... Unless something else happens, I don't know. I would think that you'd get Stephen A.
Last question has nothing to do with ESPN. There was a report this week that Apple TV wants Sunday Ticket. And I've said this on this podcast before. I've said that like the average Joe Blow fan who's out there in America, who's an NFL fan, you know, we get into like NBC has the contract for 6 years and ESPN has Monday night. They don't care about anything but Sunday Ticket. I'm speaking anecdotally from everything I get on Twitter, people I spoke. Only people think people care about. They want it off DirecTV. They want to be able to get it without DirecTV. If you live in the city, you're screwed, et cetera. Now, Sunday Ticket is supposed to air exclusively on DirecTV this season and next season. So it's not going to be if you know, you're not getting out of that world till the 2023 season. Obviously 100% guaranteed there's going to be a streaming component involved. Maybe DirecTV keeps it, but do you think it ends up on ESPN Plus? And how, I mean, we've heard ESPN Plus, we've heard Peacock, which is NBC. It's going to go somewhere, but what do you think of the Apple story?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think the digital players are real. Amazon, I think, I don't know if you mentioned them in your list. I think they are a real chance that, you know, they could be involved. They're getting very involved with the NFL. So, you know, Apple makes sense. This is a driver. You know, you're trying to get subscribers to these platforms, and they're early. A lot of them are early in. So the money, especially for a company like Apple, where they have endless money to start this new business that they think is the future. And it is, it makes sense, you know, but the thing about sports, this is more of a larger point, is that compared to like Disney Plus or Netflix, you're just leasing the event, as opposed to if you're Netflix and you create Stranger Things, or, you know, you're Disney and you create another Star Wars series, you own that forever. You can make money off that forever. So that's a little different. But yeah, no, I think Apple, I forgot who wrote that, but that seems to be real. Amazon's real. ESPN Plus is real. Like, could they cut it all up so you get it with each of them? That seems to me like, I don't know if anybody's going to, I think Apple or Amazon could pay for exclusivity. It may be ESPN as well, but the, like the Peacocks and the CBSs, if they were to get involved, I don't think they would probably get it exclusively. I think it'll be too rich for their blood. So I do think Apple also could see like Amazon really getting in there, and, you know, the NFL trying to make up money that they, you know, the greedy owners lost in the pandemic.
Oh yeah. I'm sure they're on the welfare line, the NFL owners.
I know, but that's how they think, not how I think. I agree with you more. They will, you know, try to get as much money, of course, as possible. So, so I think there's probably some potential realness to all that.
I just thought of one last one, and this is where I'll piss some people off because it's going to be about a New York thing, but it went national. Obviously, the Sterling call where he called the home run off the replay. First of all, if you see anyone out there bad-mouthing John Sterling, just report them to me, and I'll murder them with my cold bare hands. He's a legend and an
icon. I do know somebody. Negative things about.
Yeah. But it was funny that the spinoff from that, the story, what ended up becoming the story was that they're still calling games from the road. And I was surprised how many people were up in arms about that. I'm sure other teams have this too. I'm sure it's not just the Yankees, but the Yankees radio team of John Sterling and Susan Waldman, AKA Ma and Pa Pinstripe, they are at Yankee Stadium calling the games when the Yankees are on the road. Now, is that because of health and safety, or because WFAN, which airs the games, is cheap and doesn't want to send them on the road now? Do you think they'll be back this year, next year? You would know this better than anyone, so break it down.
Yeah, well, I think they definitely want to be on the road. So Susan's 74, John is 82. They're both vaccinated. I think John wants to be on the road as well, even though he understands the risks involved. They're both vaccinated. It's a money thing. You know, you'd think as the world opens up, I mean, the Delta variant is another factor that they might use. So I don't want to be insensitive to the, you know, the threat of the virus, but, right.
But I'm saying, you know, let's say next year, the virus.
I think radio will be traveling.
Okay.
And then TV, there's a question of if TV will try to be cheap, and, you know, Sinclair owns most of the, regional sports networks. They're not known for being big spenders. Here's the thing. Are you the major leagues or not? And if you're the major leagues, your broadcasters and your lead producer travel. It's that simple. And anybody who doesn't understand it doesn't, I get it. You can bean count and I get it that you could say, but you're going to lose. First off, the broadcast is different. Secondly, don't tell me you need to be in Boston and you're the Yankees, but you don't need to be in Minnesota, because that's not how covering baseball works. You don't know when a no-hitter is happening in Minnesota. You don't know when a fight's happening. You don't know when something big's happening in Minnesota. So you need to be there also. The other thing is that we do have a lot of broadcasters who are really good at what they do and have been doing it for a long time and have a lot of institutional knowledge and can do a broadcast and know so much about the teams from just doing it for so long and being around for so long. Over time, you will lose that if you're not with the team on the road and really getting to know people. And people like will say, that doesn't matter. It does, because these people that you think are better and makes the broadcast more enjoyable, that's part of it. It's doing the work. There's no free lunches. So it's bad for everyone in the business. if they're not on the road. It's bad for the viewer, even those who don't know it. And it's not major league. And so if you're the NFL, for all their arrogance and everything else, they said last year, even during a pandemic, we're going to be at the game. They said, we're the NFL. And they did it safely. So the idea that baseball broadcasters are going to be minor league and not send their broadcasters on the road, to me, and I get it, there are some out there, especially a lot of the ex-players and some play-by-play people who don't want to travel because it's easier. But I think they're foolhardy too about where their salaries will go and their level of importance will go if they're not on the road. So bean counters will want to take advantage of that. If I were a broadcaster, that would be the last thing I'd want to happen, because it's bad on a lot of levels.
Yeah, well said, well said. And the most important message of all, if any of you are out there bad-mouthing John Sterling, you're a horrible person. All right, thank you, Andrew. I'll let you go. Now, it's 11:19 a.m. Thursday, July 15th. What time can we expect you to break the Maria Taylor to NBC story?
We'll see.
Give us an ETA. Give us an ETA. Today, tomorrow, what do we got?
All right. I wish I could tell you, but I'll do my best. A lot of good reporters out there, so I'll do my best.
I'm sure.
And also, the story, just for the record, for all the people out there who talk about this, breaking stories is, to me, when like nobody knows about something and then you report something. The person who puts it across the goal line and says it's done, to me, again, you want that story, and I go for those stories, but to me, that's not the story. It's when nobody knows about something and then you report it. That's where a story is broken. The rest are important and you want, and they get more attention a lot of times. But to me, those aren't as important.
So all right.
Just my two cents on that issue that I know some people talk about on their podcasts and stuff like that. It's very, seems very important.
All right. And he does break a lot of stories. So follow at Andrew Marshan. That is the correct handle, right?
That is. Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care. Thanks for coming on. I know you're busy, so I appreciate it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
All right, time for our weekly train of thought segment. And now we bring in the guy who does it with me every week, my friend Sal Akata from WFAN and SNY in New York. Sal, how are you?
Great. Can I just say, I really actually look forward to this, our little meeting once a week, discussing some topics that we'd normally discuss on the phone or through text anyway. So this has been fun for me.
Well, we had breakfast Sunday, so it's not like, you know.
Stuff has happened, though. Yeah, stuff has happened. And that was more about, you know, oh, the baby. And, you know, come on.
Got to see the baby, like Seinfeld. Got to see the baby.
Right, exactly.
All right, we need to follow up because last week we went off about MLB with the seven-inning doubleheaders. Your point specifically about when they do a split doubleheader and make fans pay for two games when they're seven innings. And I still think the runner on second is the dumbest thing to start the 10th inning I've ever seen. And now Manfred, I guess over the All-Star break, said that's going to go away next year. Maybe he listened to the podcast. I don't know. But I feel like, you know, progress was made after last week.
And I think it's a surprise because most people, you know, we talked about it, or I'm doing these overnights and getting a bunch of calls. Everybody's like, oh, why are you yelling about it? You know, it's not going anywhere. I don't think people expected that to change either of those two rules moving forward. So thankfully, Manfred, who seems to be tone deaf and not have a clue about what fans actually want in Major League Baseball, seems to have gotten it here. Now, again, there's going to be labor dispute issues and maybe the players are going to argue against it. They don't want to play nine-inning doubleheaders. That's obvious. They barely want to play seven-inning doubleheaders. But nice to see Manfred say that baseball is not looking to make those two things permanent and we can get back to actual baseball games.
The runner on second I hate, but I could see teams and players being into that because I guess they don't want to play 15-inning extra-inning games. But I'm sorry, baseball is not seven innings. That had to change. That one had to change. A baseball game is not seven innings.
That's the one that bothered me the most. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to disagree with you with the runner on second because the more I got to watch it, the more I was like, all right, this is just cheap. But it does add instant drama. It does create, in other words, we're watching a regular ball game, Yankees go to the 10th inning, and it's just like, all right, whatever, wake me up when something happens. In this case, you're already woke it up watching it because you're saying, all right, there's a guy at second, something is going to happen here one way or another. So I like that kind of added drama or the instant drama, but ultimately, the more I watched it, the more I felt it cheapened the actual game, and I'm excited for baseball being back to nine-inning games without that runner being placed at second and extra inning.
See, I much prefer the 15-inning game when the team runs out of pitchers and they got to maybe use a position player, and then I've seen games and extra innings where they're switching the left fielder and the pitcher or something like that. I like all that. But I did see, now, again, though, it's like it's baseball, so they can never just do anything right. Then they still have to get in something that's ridiculous. And now there's talk about banning the shift.
You
can't tell a team they can't use a defensive strategy.
Why? It's illegal defense in all the other sports. Why can't you just? It's very simple too. Why wouldn't you just say, okay, maximum three outfielders, and more importantly, two infielders on each side of the bag at all times. Because move them wherever they want, but just not.
Because the game's been played a certain way for a certain amount of time, and now we're just changing the rules for what. If the shift bothers you, bunt down the third base line and you get on first base. And then the shift will end.
No, I don't. I mean, I disagree here.
How could you ban? Okay, so if you have a lefty pull hitter up, are you allowed to move the outfielders over?
Yes.
Is that allowed, but you can't move an infielder over?
You can move. The only restriction that I would make, I think it's ridiculous when you watch a baseball game and you're looking at the diamond and you see four or five guys jumbled up on one side. I think it's just
stupid. I think it's smart. It's strategy.
Well, it is, but baseball got too smart for their own good. They got too small with the analytics. They realized, hey, well, if this guy's hitting it here 95% of the time, why don't we put all our fielders there? Yes, it makes sense, but I don't think it's good for the game. So do you want
the NFL to take out blitzes so we get more offense?
No, but I mean,
what's the difference?
There is a big difference there. You know that. And they did change the rules in the NFL. You can't, you know, what about the NBA with hand checks years ago? You know that as a Knicks fan. They changed that. So you can't play defense. Don't touch them. Allow them to score more. In the NFL, same thing, where flags are going to be thrown for pass interference.
Yeah, I don't like it. Don't change the rules.
But they did change. They did do it in the NFL and the NBA. And now this is the version of it, I guess, in baseball. And I'm not saying, look, you can put the position player anywhere you want, just two – two fielders at a time on that side of the bag. All three outfielders can go wherever they want, but you have to have just three outfielders. I don't think it's, you know, stark changes, just what the way the game was meant to be played.
Two I don't guys like on the tinkering. Second, two guys I don't like right. tinkering with strategy. I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand your point. You think it's worse for the game if they ban the shift, or you think it's better for the game? That's the bottom line for
well,
me.
Well, I mean, listen, if we're doing this about the game, then you need to throw players out who go out of the batter's box. Well, the problem with the game is that the game takes 4 hours instead of 2.5.
Well, how about the fact that you don't have players that could actually hit the baseball? I mean,
But that's part of the game, because you have a pitcher that's preventing that player from hitting the baseball.
No, but the strategy is now getting guys with launch angle, all about home runs. They don't care about guys that put the ball in play, which would then potentially beat the shift. It's easy. Look, you couldn't shift on Tony Gwynn. Why? Because Tony Gwynn would hit it anywhere, everywhere, all the time. Now these guys, they're dead ball hitters, looking to hit a ball 9 miles or they're going to strike out. So
right, but that, again, is an on-field strategy player performance issue. Baseball's biggest problem is the length of the game, which has nothing to do with changing any rules. It's keep the batter in the box, keep the pitcher on the mound. That has nothing to do with strategy. The other stuff is a shift is strategic. Okay, this hitter hits the ball here all the time. We're going to put a defensive player here. I don't know. You and again, if the goal here is to open up the offense, I don't know. Like you said, the game has changed. The game is strikeouts and home runs now. I don't know how the shift is going to change that.
See, I don't think that the issue is the pace of play. I know that that's a big deal. I think it's the quality of play. You and I grew up, we would watch games, even in recent years, the World Series, Cubs and Indians, those games went on for hours, but there was great drama. They were well-played games. I don't feel like today's game is played well.
This is going to open up a whole other topic. But I think that has to do with the fact that the players are all jacked up beyond belief.
Right.
All they care about is working out and muscles.
Right, hitting bombs.
You know, I mean, if you follow Noah Syndergaard on like Instagram, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, it's all about that.
Velocity from a pitcher, exit below, launch. You're right. That's all.
There's no such thing as like, you know, let's get a guy on first. Let's have him steal second. We'll bunt him to third. Right. And we'll get it. Like that game doesn't exist anymore because the guys are all, you know, muscle heads and they want to hit the ball 500 feet.
Or the two hitter hitting the ball the other way to move the runner over, maybe gets a base hit, hit and runs, things like that. That's what I'm talking about, putting the ball in play, which if they did that, there wouldn't be as stark a shifts as we see now. But the way that it is, bottom line for me, I think the shift is bad for the game. So I'm all for going, you know, prohibiting that or preventing that strategy and trying to make the game on field a little bit better.
I didn't realize this was going to be such a heated topic. I'm glad I brought it up. All right. Another topic. You know, Giannis, I've been majorly impressed because he's doing everything. And, you know, if you want to look for like the superstar who then goes to the next level, I think he's doing it. I think, you know, I know he's always been good, but I've been blown away. What about you?
This is not going to be popular opinion, but it's just how I feel. I don't love Giannis as a player. I hate the fact that he continues to try to shoot threes when he's a horrible three-point shooter. It drives me nuts that a guy whose strength is getting to the rim that is not a good free throw shooter. And also, he made a great defensive play last night coming back with that block on Aiden for the alley-oop. I understand it was a tremendous play. But earlier in the game, he sat there or stood there and watched Crowder take a three he did nothing. He just let him take a wide open three. This is the NBA Finals. I know he's hurt. He's banged up. You got to give him, you know, some credit for playing. And again, whatever it was, 26 points or something. I can't fathom, as somebody who grew up watching passionate basketball being played, especially defensively in the 90s, NBA Finals, one of the stars of the league is standing there on the court watching an open man take a three-point shot. There's no excuse for that. So too many times with the – and it's not just him. I know,
but
that,
you're picking
too
out one thing in a game where the guy's having, you know, 26 points, 14 rebounds. You're picking out one play?
Yeah.
What a critic. Jesus Christ.
I know. But and he's playing hurt. I understand that. But, well, it's not just one play. I told you the 3 points drive me nuts. Not being able to knock down free throws drive
me
nuts.
So if he wins a title, if they beat the Suns, does your opinion change at all?
I mean, he'll be an NBA champion. So, yeah, you get over the – not that my opinion would change of him as a player, but clearly he would have – you know, what more does he have to prove, right? He's been an MVP multiple times. Winning a championship is the last thing for him. Look, it's not like he's the worst player in the league, but there, as a superstar player, I'd like to see somebody a little more well-rounded than Giannis.
All right. This was not a topic, but as we're taping this, I'm looking at Twitter and I see a tweet here, and you work at SNY and you're a diehard Mets fan. So maybe you could shed some light on me on this, because I didn't know this. I'm seeing a tweet here that says Keith Hernandez will be back in the Mets booth on Friday following his yard work / hot tub injury. What the hell happened to Keith?
Apparently, I don't know if he was going to trim a tree or something like that, and he stood on his hot tub to reach the tree branch or whatever it was and slipped and fell.
Oh my God.
I don't know if he did something to his ankle. I forget right. The exact extent of it, but it was something like that. And he had a little accident. So I guess he was out right before the All-Star break and, you know, obviously then had the All-Star break as well. So it wasn't a major scare, a major issue, but.
So he's doing yard work, stood on the hot tub, fell.
Slipped and fell. Yeah. Something
that's
like
why
that.
I don't do yard work. Exactly. And I love Keith. You know, it's funny when Keith came on this podcast last summer, he did it from like his backyard in Sag Harbor. So I got to look at the backyard. So it's interesting that
you had a video with him. I listened to it. No, that you did it, but I didn't.
We
see the
did
video.
It via video on Zoom, but it was before we started posting the videos on YouTube. We did the pod via Zoom because of the pandemic. It was just the easiest way to tape them from home. But we didn't decide to start putting them on YouTube until I think a little bit after that one. I wish we had that one because he was sitting in his backyard. It was funny. Last thing, the WWE today on Thursday, they're making a big deal all over Twitter. Vince McMahon actually sent out a tweet about they're going back on the road. So since the pandemic started, they've done their shows strictly from one building in Tampa, Florida with no fans. And that's now over. Friday, back to their regular schedule. When was the last time you went to a live WWE event?
I actually went to one at the Garden. You know, I became friends with Brian Myers, formerly known as Curt Hawkins.
Right.
He got me tickets to one of the shows that they did at the Garden right before Christmas, I would say 2018,
okay,
maybe.
And now, as an adult, did you enjoy it?
I did. It was cool. I mean, it brings me back. Anytime you're there, you know, it brings you back to being a kid, especially at the Garden. And I remember Vince McMahon came out or Cena, and it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was fun.
I haven't been to a show, I don't think, since I was in like high school. But I have to say, I have a little bit of an itch to go. I don't know, because I've had a very hard time watching Monday Night Raw without the crowd. I think it's changed everything. So I could see the crowds being completely insane now when they get back.
So you want to go? You could probably get us tickets. I'll go with you.
Yeah, maybe we'll go.
It is. Right. It is a fun. It's escape. It brings you. Makes you feel like a kid for a few hours going to watch the show.
It is fun. All right. I appreciate you coming on, and the shift should not be banned.
All right. I hope we can still be friends. All right.
I'll see you next. Oh wait. One more thing.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot the biggest topic of all. Literally the biggest topic, the most important topic, the only thing I've wanted to discuss all day. So there was this. So two guys from the Sopranos, Steve Sciarippa and Michael Imperioli, have a podcast. They came on my podcast last summer as well. So if someone is new to this podcast, go into the archive. You can listen to all these. So Sciarippa, Bobby Bacala, Michael Imperioli, Christopher were on my podcast last year. They have their own. And apparently Sciarippa said on his podcast this week that when Steve Carell left the office after season 7, I believe, that that NBC wanted Gandolfini, who had wrapped The Sopranos, to join the show and take over the Carell, you know, part. Not the Carell part, but Carell left. They wanted Gandolfini in. And NBC offered Gandolfini $4 million to take the job at the office. And HBO not wanting Gandolfini to sort of be on another show and sully his Sopranos reputation, I guess, offered him $3 million not to join The Office. Now, this is the story Steve Sciarippa told. I have no idea. But Gandolfini on The Office, now it would be without the Michael Scott character, obviously, but he'd be there interacting with Dwight and Jim and the whole cast. I think could have been tremendous. And I think that's just an unbelievable TV nugget if it's true.
My mind was blown reading that, and then started to think, oh my God, how would that have been? He would have been great in that role. I also don't understand. I get wanting to protect the Tony Soprano character,
right?
But it's not like he didn't do other stuff. He did that movie with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which I watched. Right,
which is very good.
But
yeah.
He's not Tony Soprano there. He's done.
That's why even if this story isn't true, it's fun to think about.
How he would have been in The Office?
It would have been interesting if they would have made him sort of an Italian sort of character, maybe, you know, I don't know how, you know, or if they would have made him something completely, you know, who knows if he would have been like the Robert California character or the Will Ferrell character. I don't know. But when I'm thinking about, like, I think a Gandolfini scene with Dwight could have been amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
For you and I who both love The Sopranos and The Office, and I think the majority of people, right, there's a reason those shows are so popular.
Yeah.
Wow. I could not get over that. And then dreaming about what that would have been like had you had Gandolfini in there. It would have been great. And I do believe it. I believe those guys are telling the truth, at least to some extent. And I understand why HBO would not want him to do that big of a TV show, but still, come on. $3 million. Imagine getting paid $3 million to not do something.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, HBO really paid him $3 million not to do The Office.
Are you into the what do you call it?
The movie?
Not reboot. Yeah.
No.
Someone's going to play it, huh?
Yeah. I'm not into it only because there's no one from The Sopranos cast. I mean, listen, will I watch it? Yes, of course. But I'm not like, I can't wait to watch it. I'm dying to watch it.
Is it a show or a movie?
It's a movie. Okay. It's a movie. Okay. And no one from the cast is in it. So that's hard for me.
Well, it's a prequel though, right?
Right. Yeah.
All right. I mean, still, you want to, and isn't Chase writing it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's so all David Chase.
At least you have the same, you know, writer writing the pre-story to it. I'm into it. I didn't realize, though, I saw the little clip, whatever it was, a week ago. I didn't realize that was his son, Gandolfini's son, playing the young Tony.
Yep.
Good for him.
I can't get over James Gandolfini on The Office. I just can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah. You think it would have been good, though?
Now, listen, those 2 years were rough without Steve Carell. And I thought the Robert California season was like the worst thing I've ever seen.
See, I don't like Spader for some reason.
Yeah, but I do think, listen, I think it would have been good with James. I mean, listen, you're going to watch it. It's James Gandolfini. I think it would have been good. I think it would have been really good. I don't see how it couldn't have been. Yeah. All right. That's good. I can't believe I almost forgot that. Thank you for coming on. And I'll talk to you later.
All right. See you later.
All right. Be well. Take care. All right, my thanks to Andrew Marchand and Sal Licata for coming on this week's show. If you are not a subscriber to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast, please hit that subscribe button. And if you can review, that would help tremendously. There may be some prizes coming up for people who give us a review on Apple, so make sure you do that. And if you missed any past episodes, go into the archives. Great show last week with Sean McDonough from ESPN, Chris Long 2 weeks ago, Jim Ross 3 weeks ago. All those in the archives, check them out, subscribe, rate, and review. All right, that wraps it up for this week's show. We'll see you next week. Be safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone,
so what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. and everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.